Welcome to Sneakers and Strategies. I'm your host, Nick Kastner. Let's jump into Season 2, Episode 3. This episode, we're going to talk about media dependency theory. A few weeks ago, I thought I'd come up with something genius on my way home, and I did not. Apparently nothing is new under the sun, it seems. But I do want to provide a new take on it, and so let's first talk about what media dependency theory is. So media dependency theory is a systematic approach to the study of the effects of mass media on audiences and the way that we interact with that media and social systems. And that, when we say social systems, this theory was written back in 1976 by two American communications researchers, Sandra Ball Rokiak and Melvin DeFleur. So the idea is that dependency theory thinks of dependency as a relationship in which the fulfillment of one party's needs and goals, so one person's needs and goals, is reliant on the resources of another party, right? So that's dependency theory, like those things interact. So the main focus of the theory is, when we talk about media dependency, is the relationship between media and audiences. So in industrialized and information-based societies like our own, individuals tend to develop a dependency on media. And that they do that for a few reasons. They do it to satisfy needs. Those can range from need for information, need from information from a political candidate or a political candidate's policy positions. A lot of the research is about around politics and voting, which is timely given this is an election year, to also a need for relaxation or entertainment, or some people use it as like a coping mechanism even. So they become dependent on media to do that. So in general, the extent of the media's influence, whatever that media is, television, radio, newspaper, is related to the degree of dependence of the individuals and social systems on the media. So from the original theory, two of the basic ways this works is the greater number of social functions performed for an audience by medium, like the number of times they talk about a given topic, or the amount of entertainment that's provided, the greater the audience's dependency on that medium. So think about how we television, or even how you listen to music, whether it's Spotify or Apple Music, like those sort of things you become more dependent on. So if all of a sudden Apple Music or Spotify went away, how would you listen to music? It would cause panic. So the other thing that matters is the greater the instability of a society, the greater the audience's dependence on the media. So if there's times of social change or political upheaval or conflict like war, we tend to have more dependency on media, and therefore it has a greater potential impact on the audience, or the media has more impact on the audience. So there are three real effects that result from our dependence. I'm going to say, because it says audience's dependence, but I'm going to say our dependence on media. First is cognitive. Second is affective. And next is behavioral. So when you think about cognitive, the cognitive effects of being dependent on media is it can change our attitudes. It can change our beliefs. It can change our values. Like I even know when the kids, because I've got two children, when the kids consume too much media, or their, Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts or whatever it is they're watching, their behaviors can change, their attitudes can change, and part of that is this effect. It can also change the way that you can see an issue, right? They call it agenda setting. If they're setting an agenda via the media you're consuming, and all of a sudden you have to adopt that particular thought or whatever, because it's across all media. Second is affective effects. So it's like let's say that you develop a fear or have anxiety about traveling to a certain area because in the news, they just constantly talk about how violent that area is, right? So let's say that you're near Atlanta and they're talking about these, like a particular neighborhood, and they just talk about how all these, this crime just constantly happens in this neighborhood. No one then wants to go there, right? That is a media dependency issue. They've created that. When it comes to behavioral, one of the examples is what they call deactivation, where an individual member of an audience, so one person, refrains from taking an action that they would have taken had they not been exposed to the media, right? So if you are constantly told that an area is not safe, then you won't travel there. I mean, think about the incident that recently happened at the University of Georgia where the young lady was killed. There will be some parents that say, oh, now UGA is not safe, so we should not send our children there, although they may be alumni and want their children to go there. So that's ridiculous if you think about it in context, right? But if the media constantly talks about it, it's going to create fear that may not be justified. So the other thing that happens when you talk about refraining from certain actions that they would have taken had they not been exposed to a certain message, the other thing is about cancelization, right? So I'm going to say cancellation. We've canceled people due to a comment they made, some of them years and years ago. Some of them never made the comment, but they got canceled anyway, right? That's because of this media dependency theory. Or not because of it, but that's what happens. Therefore, the media dependency theory is true. So much of this, a lot of what we're talking about, has been applied in politics for years. So we'll talk, you know, constantly we'll talk about how bad someone is or something that someone has done. And it may or may not be true, but that doesn't matter because they've been buried in media that it is true. And so that's one of the things that has happened over the course of the past 30 to 40 years. Thank you, television. Thank you, media that we constantly consume. I mean, you have to think back in the early 1900s and mid 1900s, we didn't have the same reliances on media that we do today. And so I also personally believe we were never meant to consume as much media as we do. I don't think our brains can handle it. Like, I don't think, I think there's a lot of psychological studies, and this is true. There are a lot of psychological studies that show that this constant need for media, whether it be watching television, you're on your phone, you're on your laptop, and you're doing all these things all at once, I think that's led to the issues we have with anxiety and depression and those sort of things that we see in society today. I mean, there's a reason why we feel we have the greatest ability in all of history to communicate with others, and yet we also have more issues with depression and loneliness than any society ever in the history of the world. So it's really interesting how media has affected this, right? So, but I don't want to talk about, I don't want to get into cultural and like all the ramifications there. I want to talk about marketing for a second. So a study was done by three faculty members at Bowling Green back in 2013. So it's now 11 years old. But they found, and this was early in social really, that social networking sites, along with other online media, so online content like audio news, video news, were the preferred source for young people then, and they are more likely to be interested in soft news rather than hard news. So sites like Facebook at the time had become online users' news portals, and of course other online sources, and is closely related to like the way that they saw media. And kind of consumed information. So the significant difference in news media use between the general population at that time and college students, young people, quote unquote, illustrates the importance of choosing the sample and studying social networking sites and media use. And so this kind of leads into what I believe in terms of media dependency and how things are changing. So let's talk about real world events for a second. So just a few weeks ago, AT&T's cellular network went down. So if you're an AT&T customer, I am, everybody was trying to figure out what happened, right? You woke up, none of your phones worked, no one could call anybody. And so some people panicked, right? They thought something had major had happened. So they haven't formally given the details of what happened, to my knowledge. Some on Reddit, because I do read Reddit, proposed that an update was done by Cisco around 3:30 a.m. that night, may have caused the outage, because they constantly do updates to the system. For those that don't know, Cisco actually manages a lot of the equipment, software, etc., that the entire cellular network is built on for most providers, if not all. So it doesn't matter. The AT&T network went down. It was down for quite a while, and people were panicking. Why? They had no access to calling anyone, but they also had no access to social. And so having no access to social media, they couldn't call. We had taken media from their hands, right? So the only thing they could do is rely on getting on their laptop, assuming they could connect to their their at-home Wi-Fi, their at-home internet, or in-office internet. Then, this week, right, March 5th, Super Tuesday, for those of you that are in political circles, the metaverse goes down. Facebook and Instagram go down at 10:45 a.m. No one can log on. You get kicked off. You try to log in. It says you can't. Everyone's trying to log in here at the office. We even had clients calling and asking us what we had done to Facebook and Instagram, like how we broke it, because we obviously broke it. Even asking why their posts weren't live because they couldn't see them, because they couldn't access Facebook. But at the end of the day, like, media had been taken from our hands. Experts from Cisco's Thousand Eyes team, that's their internet intelligence team, suggested it was just an authentication issue, right? We were actually passing back and forth GIFs and memes from the Social Network movie that came out some time ago about Facebook, when he said that Facebook never goes down, but it does, apparently. But again, panic. Like, people panicked. You know, they immediately said, oh, this has to be China. This has to be... because it's Super Tuesday, like, it has to be all these things. And both of these events just reminded me of when I was a kid, and it was before we got cable. So I was, you know, 4, 5, 6, and a storm would come through, and we had an antenna for our television. And if a storm came through, sometimes we would lose signal, and my mom would panic, right? So for losing television, or, you know, same thing with early satellites. Or, you know, the cable got cut for some reason. Like, someone was digging and cut that cable. So while we're panicking when Facebook goes down, right? So Facebook and Instagram go down this week. I had people panicking. My in-laws and parents didn't even notice. Didn't care. Why? Because they don't rely on Facebook or Instagram for their news or information. So it didn't matter to them. You know, I would say I don't rely on TikTok. But our social and content manager here at Forum, she comes in my office, or comes in the office in our digital space, and says, TikTok sent out this week that there's a new regulation where they're trying to ban the platform. And she was panicked a bit. She's like, how would this affect me? And I'm like, we don't do a ton of TikTok things, so I don't know that it would. But again, like, Those are the things that we run into in real life when it comes to media dependency. And so what I'm trying to say is that I am advocating, not that I want to take on the task, for new research and maybe even a new theory that I'd refer to as generational media dependency. You know, we're all influenced by the media we're surrounded with, and I think each generation at this point is influenced differently. I think my grandmother, you know, she is influenced differently than I am because of the media that she consumes. The other thing that we know as marketers is that these algorithms for social media will send you more of the things that you like and less of the things that you don't. And so rather than getting any balanced information from a political perspective, even sometimes as a consumer, you may see more of something just because you looked for it or that you've behaved in that certain way, right? So if I'm online and I do a search for, I don't know, a particular brand of tennis shoes, right? This is sneakers and strategies. Let's talk about shoes. So let's say I do a search for a certain type of shoes, or I'm on Facebook or Instagram and I'm looking at Jordans. I'm going to see more Jordans. If I look up stuff about volleyball because my daughter's a volleyball player, then I'm going to see more volleyball stuff. That's just how the algorithms work. It believes you're interested in those things and wants to cater to your interests. So we don't get as much balanced information as we used to, right? As consumers, when you're doing a review, you know, when you want balanced information on a product you may buy or a service that you need, it can be very difficult to get it. So, you know, the question is, are we influenced by the media around us? Yes, absolutely. We are going to get more and more of the things that we like. We've also, though, when it comes to media, we've seen directors, CEOs, staff members, actors, actresses, writers, etc., 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 canceled, as the kids say, for things that were said 15 years ago. What? Why? That's crazy. Someone listening to this podcast that is older than 35 or older than 30, raise your hand if you think you probably said something severely offensive 10 to 15 years ago, and you might have posted it online or might have said it online or said it to someone where it could have been recorded. Oh, that's everyone? Got it. I mean, the control that we, that media, like, I'm not going to say like conspiracy theory, all that stuff. No, no, no. The control that media, the content that we consume has on us is immense. So whether you believe that there are aliens in a mall in Miami, or the world is going to end on April 8th because of the eclipse, or that Joe Biden is a lizard person, you didn't come up with any of that on your own. Like, you didn't make that up. Someone on social said it. So first, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's fun to read about. But what I do know is that we are influenced by the media we consume. And I take it a step further in saying that generationally and generally speaking, those influences are slightly different. So when a news anchor says something on Fox News or CNN, some will believe it, even if it's a lie, or even if it's something that is hearsay. Same is true on TikTok. If insert a celebrity's name says it, even if it's a lie or hearsay, they will believe it. So imagine, you know, someone saying something about you that you did not say, and it negatively affects a job opportunity or whatever on social media. And take this even further, generative AI. Thanks to generative AI, media dependence, generational media dependence, influence, we can start seeing all sorts of crazy things happen. I mean, we can now literally generate an avatar that looks like a human and have them in advertising or have them say something on social media or even create an avatar that looks like a real person, create an account for them, it's fake. So as marketers, and as bad as this is going to sound, I know that, some of this knowledge can be used to our advantage. We can make sure that we're sending the right messages through the right channels to target the right consumers. Those are things that we do. So maybe in our television ads for one client, reliability matters. And maybe social media influence or an influencer matters to younger audiences of the same client. Maybe quality is the thing we need to promote in print. Every brand is different, but it's something we have to consider because of generational media dependence. And I always also say, as someone who has ethical standards and tries to apply those to the work that I do in marketing, authenticity also matters. So, we've tinkered with artificial intelligence to some degree in the office, and even using it to help us produce content at scale. But that content still has to be modified to match the voice of the customer, of the client, right? Of whatever company we're working on behalf of. And to be modified to tell real stories about the work they're doing. You don't write artificial intelligent case studies. So I have a friend who creates Facebook, Insta, TikTok ads for their business. And they're all generative AI. Like, they're all literally generated. Yes, generated, capital G. With a generated spokesperson in the ads. An avatar, if you will. It looks real. It's not a real person. But the ads are doing really, really well. Is it ethical? I don't know. Is it? So the other thing that I would consider is that Google is even trying to sort out how to make sure they're sharing facts, not fiction, right? When we're talking about media dependence, we are so dependent on Google. I mean, it's insane. And they're trying to make sure that they're sharing real content through their algorithms. How do they ensure they provide real responses in search that are not fake or made up or hearsay? You want to know why Google's constantly changing the algorithm and making us as SEOs work really hard to prove that we have experience, expertise, authority, trust for our clients, or even that the business has that expertise? Because they want to create real content. They want to make sure that they're using real authorities, not hearsay, not anything that is fake, because it's really easy to create. So that's why. As consumers, we are dependent in all caps on Google as a resource. It doesn't want to be canceled for fake news. And I would say this is the interesting thing, we don't apply the same rules to social, right? Social media, for whatever reason, generally speaking. As generative AI becomes more and more part of our culture, we're going to have to be mindful of the content we consume. And I'm not worried as much about the, what's a little brown bat, what's a dark brown bat, what's this particular type of bug sort of content, like that stuff doesn't, that's not what I'm talking about. We need to be mindful of how media can be used for and against us. And it's not just marketing, but how we're influenced by what we consume, right? So I know it's a lot, I know it's heavy, it's a big topic, but I've thought a lot about it lately, just as we're putting together marketing plans for clients and trying to think through, okay, how do we be authentic in a world that feels a little plastic, or that we know that can be like the media, we are so media dependent, how can we make sure that our clients are being authentic? Like, how can we make sure that they are giving content that is ethical and reasonable and we understand the consumer, and we're not trying to play into this and like lead them on with things that are not effective. So, again, heavy topic, but I think it's something that we as marketers need to talk about and need to be aware of, and I think as consumers even more so. So that's my marketing musings for this episode. I don't have a lot of sneaker comments. This week, actually, wait, okay. Nike, why did you not release the white and gold Jordan 4s in men's sizes? That's what I have to say. There was a drop that happened on Saturday of a new Jordan 4 that is white and gold. It's nice. And if it were straight white with none of the light bone hues, it's got light bone hues at the sole and on the tab, on the back tab of the shoe. I don't care for that. But if they were solid white with gold, come on. Like, that's awesome. So I would have been there for it. But I wear a size 14, and I'm not there for it because I cannot wear women's size shoes. So that's that. All right. Otherwise, I'll see you on the next episode of Sneakers and Strategies. My name is Nick Kastner. I'm the Director of Brand and Digital Strategy at Forum Communications. If you need help with your marketing, or you need some insight into how to tackle this media dependency space that we're kind of in today, feel free to give us a call. Our web address is formspeaks.com, so formspeaks.com, and we'd be glad to help. All right, have a great week.